But today I just want to talk about how our God offers comfort to us all, and through the ministry of the New Covenant, and what God's done in us, and how we can in turn just give that back out into other people's lives. So I'd like to do that this morning, and I'll be sharing from the second book of Corinthians. I haven't got a thing up on the screen, but if you got your Bibles there, we'd just like to open up the second book of Corinthians in chapter 2. Chapter 2, and reading for verses 14 down to verse 17. It's speaking here about ministers of the new covenant. But thank God he has made us his captors, and he continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are like our Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. We are a dreadful smell of death and doom, but to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And the question there is asked, and who is adequate for such a task? And that's a part of of what I'd like to share this morning. But to be ministers, for us to go out and to minister into a hurting community, to affect other people's lives with the word of God, and speak about the scriptures, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, that's something that we should find very easy, amen? Something that we shouldn't shy away from, because that's what we've been asked to do, is speak, to preach and teach the good news that Jesus Christ lives and God loves you, amen? And so as God's people, we have been commissioned to do that. Jesus told us, go into the world and teach and preach the gospel and make disciples. And we know that as we speak the good news, people will come to learn that Jesus came to save and to set us free. Amen? And so that's, as I just said, we've been commissioned to do that. But it's something that, as I said, we're not to shy away from, but it's something we should be able to do well, something that we need to be able to do well, and that speak about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we want to make a difference or make a change in someone else's life, in our community, then we really need to take the words of the scripture into our hearts and meditate upon them, so that words of confidence will flow out through us. We need to be confident as we speak, to have the know that if we're going to fumble through our testimony and as our speak, well, people will say, well, you know, you don't seem too sure about what you're saying. So we really need to be sure of what we're saying, the sure of what we're sharing when it comes to about the things of God. We need to do that with hope and confidence, don't we? To speak well about the things of God, and with everything, what's been sown into our spirits, that will arise. It will arise and come forth. It will really spew out, as the word says, you know, out of your belly the riverling waters will flow. And we want that to come forth in just a powerful way, that yes, I want to be that person that you're speaking about. I want to be like you, and to have the love of God and of Jesus Christ in my life. And so we want to be confident like that, and to let the Spirit rise as Holy Spirit of God just rises up and prompts us and gives us the words to say, it will flow out in a wonderful way. And we want that to happen with what we say will affect someone else's life. It will be a life-changing experience to the listener's ears, that what they hear, they will say, this sounds good. I want a part of that and to be that. And so we want them to connect and relate with what we're speaking, what we're talking about, and to be comforted most of all by the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. We want them to see God. We want them to see Jesus in our lives. And that's that portion of Scripture we read there, and it ended there. And who is adequate for that task? Who is adequate for that task? The answer, of course, you are. Every born-again believer here this morning is adequate for that task that the Scripture speaks about there, that we're able to go and speak into someone else's life about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is to us. And so our response, you know, as I said, the question there is asked, and who is adequate for such a task as this? And our response should always be, yes, we are ready. Amen? We are ready to speak the word. And as you do that, God's going to honour that. God will honour you as you just take that step and speak forth. That, you know, we're always going into the unknown, aren't we? We never know what a day will bring, who God's going to put before us and we'll be able to share our faith with. And so as we do that, you know, our hope rises, doesn't it? As we speak out, our faith level rises up and God just gives us the words to say, fills our mouth and to be that. But just like to go back to chapter 1 in 2 Corinthians there and just share a little bit more there about what I'm going to speak about there. But from the second book of Corinthians again in chapter 1, verses 3 onwards, speaking here about where God offers comfort to all, amen? We know that we're comforted in so many ways, in times of trouble, when we just need an answer, when we need that time when you might say, what am I going to do? And we can just know that God's going to be there. God will turn up and be one who's going to bring comfort. And again, the word here speaks about that, and it says, all praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and a source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. And when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Amen. And so that's what the word here, that is encouraging us to be that sort of person, that sort of people who will be able to bring comfort to those in need, bring comfort to those who are hurting, and bring comfort to those who just need to be touched in a really a critical time when they need it most. And so, as I shared there, that you know, God brings comfort to all, and that's what this portion of Scripture it's about. It's God's way of reassuring us. God's reassuring us. He's saying, "Hey, I'm with you." You're able to speak forth these words, and he's just reassuring us through the power of his word, and that he cares for us, and that he is with us. Amen? And so that's what all God wants to do. And so here the Apostle Paul, he brings that word, and he says, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father, and the source of all comfort. He comforts comforts us all in all of our troubles, not just some of them, but in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort others. We need to be a comfort to someone else who is hurting, who's having trouble. When they are troubled, we're able to give them the same comfort that God gives us. Amen? It's got to be a reciprocating thing, hasn't it? That what God sows into us, he wants us to give out and speak into other people's lives. So here we see we have this powerful promise that God... from God, that you will receive consolation and encouragement, that you will in turn impart as you minister out, being ministers of this new covenant of Jesus Christ. And we know that this comfort, it flows to us as God's people, to all believers everywhere. The comfort of God, God always gives us comfort. Amen? And so, we're going to be empowered to give out of our lives and what flows in through our spirit. We will give out. You will be able to minister out of every experience that the Lord has taken you through. And many people go through many things, don't they? We see that every day. We hear about it every day of the week. And we want to be able to minister out of our experience. And I'll borrow some of Pastor Hans's words about good, sad, bad, or glad. All those sorts of experiences we know that as we use those experiences, whether they're good, whether they're sad, whether they're bad, or whether they're glad, we can all minister out of all those sorts of experiences that we've had, and we can share that with others, and through our hurts or our blessing, the way God has touched us, we can just touch someone else's life, and we can give God all the glory. Amen? And we do that. As I just said a moment ago, God will equip you for the task. God's not going to leave you empty-handed and to go into fight the battle alone, because he says, "Yea, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Words of the scripture you've heard many times before. Words that we've used many times before. Just a reassuring ourselves that God is with us and he will there. And as we stand on the word and we claim the promise, because in Christ Jesus we know that all his promises are yes and amen. Amen. And we know that. And in verse 20 of that second chapter there, that it says for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen comes. Church, God's seal is upon you. God's seal is upon us. And we have to really take that into our hearts and to grab hold of that God's seal is upon us. We have that mark upon us, haven't we? We've been identified as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are God's children, amen? As it says, now it is God who enables you to stand firm in Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Amen? And that's the first installment that guarantees everything that God has promised. He's given us a start. We have the Spirit within us. And so we're able to do that. We're able to share that with whoever, wherever, and whatever we do, wherever we go, we're able to share that. As the scripture says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. There is freedom. There is liberty. God has come to set us free. Amen? And so we just have to have that really stooped down in our hearts. And as I said earlier on, you know, as we speak, you know, our faith level will rise and the Spirit of God will just come forth in every way. And we have to make use of every opportunity. And no matter where we are or what we're doing, we need to do that. And again, we just have to see that in our weak times, when things are not looking good, we just have to make sure that man's extremity has to be God's opportunity. Amen? Shared that a few weeks ago about when we went away and we had all the car trouble. But even during the week, there's a tremendous testimony on the national news there. You may have seen that on Wednesday night. A farmer... story of the farmer who was trapped under his overturned tractor on the farm, and I think he spent half the night there, or 18 hours. That's a long time to be pinned under a tractor, injured in freezing cold conditions, and just waiting there for someone to come and rescue. But this man was featured on the national news, and this man's testimony is, and he had no problem stating out, he said, "I prayed to God and God was with me." And I thought, that good on you, mate. That's a really great testimony, that man, even in his extremity, you would be praying, "God, I'm under this tractor, can't you lift it off from me?" You know? But there he was. He endured that pain, the suffering, but he was all that time just reaching out to God and asking God to deliver him. And part of his testimony was, he said, "God, if you want to take me, I'm ready, but I would like to live a little longer." And I'm sure every one of us, if we're in the same situation, we all want to live, don't we? We all want to go to heaven, but none of us want to die to get there. That's the reality of it all, isn't it? But that was that man's heart, you know, that God, he said, "I'm ready to go." He more or less saying, "It's not going to worry me in that sense." But he said, "I want to live a little longer." This man, he was a returned missionary, wasn't he, for been serving in, I think it was Africa, was it? Yeah. And, he's a missionary. And so, you know, he honoured God even in that circumstance. Man's extremity, God's opportunity. And we need to be people like that who are going to do that all the time, that we can always honour God, amen? That we can honour God do that, because you can see how influential and powerful we can be, you know, if we're just prepared to share what God has done in our lives and what God's doing. God's doing amazing, great things all the time. We're always hearing testimony. We heard a little story during the week by one of our ladies, and we'll get her to share that at some time. But just a powerful testimony how God turned up at the right time and just opened up a way for this woman for things to happen. And we'll look forward to hearing that testimony in due time. But as I said, you know, Jesus Christ, he's equipped us and he's empowered us and enabled us to be competent servants to speak and preach the good news of the gospel. You know, God's given us that ability, and what God's saying to us, he's going to make sure that we do it well, and he's given us that competency, that ability just to speak and to preach and to do that. So what we see here in that portion of scripture that I read about being ministers of the new covenant, here the apostle Paul is able to acknowledge how great and a mighty God we serve. He says, "But thanks be to God, he has made us a captives and continues to lead us in a triumphal procession." What's the triumphal procession? The triumphal procession is God having it over the enemy. That the presence of Jesus in our lives we can see that the enemy is being defeated and he's not going to get a foothold in there. And we have this triumphal victory, don't we? We know that God is with us and he will empower us and equip us to do all these things. And so that's the apostle is saying. He continues to lead us along. God's always there, drawing us along, leading us along, showing us the way and helping us in everything we do. And as I all said, we need to turn our lives into testimony, don't we? We all want to be a testament that Jesus is in our lives and that God's done a mighty thing with us. And we see that there about the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, powerful passages. Scripture in Psalm 119, one of the longest psalms, passages there, but I'll find it in a moment. Here, the psalmist, he was pondering many things, and I'm sure he was thinking over a lot of things and just thinking about his life and what God's done and how God's helped him. And he says here, in Psalm 119, verse 59, he says, I pondered my direction of life and I turned to follow your laws. And he says, I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. And he says, but I am firmly anchored. I am firmly anchored to your instructions. So you see here, he is about to change in his ways and he wants to turn his life into testimony. And he's saying that. He said, I've thought about these things. I've pondered about them. And he said, and I've done that very thing. I've turned to follow your laws. And I'm sure if we read all that, we would probably see how the psalmist here, the writer was struggling with things in his life and he was just trying to get things back on track and to put things right. And he says, and I pondered pondered the direction of my life. I've had a look where things are going and I want to make a change. And he says, and I turn to follow your laws. And he makes this statement that he's not going to waste any time. He said, I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. And he says, because I am firmly anchored to your instructions. And he's not going to move away from that. And he says, I rise at midnight to thank you for your just regulations. And so there, again, another reaffirmation of what this person wanted to do, that they were going to change their ways, get their heart right with God, and to do something about it. He says, because I'm firmly anchored and I'm not going to change. When an anchor is put down, it holds you there, you can't move. We see great ships, mighty sizes, and their anchors are only small in proportion to the size of the ship. And that speaks a lot about that little bit of faith, doesn't it, in our life? How it can do so much. How that little bit of faith we can hold on with so much hope in the things of God and there. But so he said he made that decision that things had to change. And as we do that, things will happen. And as he said, I will arise. And he said, at midnight, I'm going to get up and give praise to God and just reach out and to thank him for everything and there. But he had that courage. He came to that place and he said, I'm going to make a change in my life. And there are times in our lives, isn't it, that we have to come to that place and we have to just make the call and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And we need to say, you know, I'm no longer going to live my life and go on like this. I'm going to make a change. We have to make a statement and declare our intentions like the psalmist did here. He said, I'll hurry without delay. I'm going to do something about it. And so we need to be that type of people, that we will make a change and we'll be sincere about it, and we're going to stand on the promises of God. And like the psalmist says here, and he said, I'm going to stay anchored. That's not going to, we're not going to break away from your word. And so we need to do that, and to be able to say today, today I'm putting an end to all this, and I'm going to let God have His way in my life, because often we hinder the things of God wants to do that in our lives. We hold back. You know, it's time to start letting go and putting things, putting up excuses. We tend to tell lies and fib about things, and all we're doing is hindering what God wants to do. God wants to do a powerful thing in all of our lives, amen? He wants to use each and every one of us to be a testament, a testimony for Him, to be able to speak about how we've touched someone's life, how and what the Word and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and we want that to affect someone else's life. So like I said, and say, make that declaration today and say, today I'm putting an end to all this and I'm letting God have His way with me. Amen? So we just need to do that, and to be able to do that and to let go, that as we're comforted, God will give us comfort in that time, and as He gives us comfort, that's how we're going to comfort someone else and touch someone else's life. So, and again, the apostle, he continues on with his words encouraging us, and in chapter 4, the apostle Paul speaks about we are treasures in fragile clay jars, but as that sort of people, you know, we are treasures. God sees us as that, but He also sees us in this earthly vessel that here they're referring to a clay jar. But as a clay jar, as a person, we all have that potential to break, don't we? We all have that potential to break open when things come against us and don't go our way. But here, the apostle is making that plea to us, and he's saying, and he says, Therefore, since God, in all His mercy, has given us this new way, and He's encouraging us to put aside all our former ways and to reject all shameful deeds and shonky ways. That's the words of the Apostle Paul is speaking. And he makes this statement. He says, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we are ourselves, we are like fragile clay jars, and we are brittle at times, and we many times we're just not strong enough to be able to stand firm, are we? And we waver under the things that come against us, and we sort of cave in a bit. But God wants us to stand strong in every way. We don't want to let cracks appear, and we start leaking. And when we start leaking, the Spirit drains out of us. We become dry, don't we? And so God wants us to be continually, have that need in us to be continually filled up and overflowing with the goodness of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I'm sure everyone wants to be like that. Everyone wants to be a part of this new covenant that God has given us. You know, the Spirit who gives life, amen? And the Spirit of our living God, to have that really embedded in our hearts and spirit. And we know that the Spirit of the living God, who is the fulfillment of the promise of the new covenant, written, and it's being that fulfillment. It writes the same law inwardly. It's now within us. And it is written on the tablets of our heart. And it's a wonderful, powerful thing that God in his love and mercy has placed himself within us. You find that amazing? People like us. And we can be very ugly at times, can't we? And yet God, in all his love and grace, he's placed himself within us that we can touch someone else's life, that we can comfort someone else. A wonderful, powerful thing. It's different. We've got to hear. But whereas before, the covenant law was written on tablets of stone that God gave to Moses. It was a law which they couldn't keep because they were what? They were lawbreakers. And they stood guilty and they were condemned to death because, you know, they just couldn't hang on to that. But what did God say to them? What did God say to all of us? He said, worship me. And worship me with what? He says, with everything. Everything that is within you. We heard that with Pastor Hans. That was what the whole conference was about, wasn't it? It was about about loving your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Everything that is within us. That's how God wants us to love him. That's how he wants us to worship him. And that's how he wants us to serve him. To do that, everything that is within you. But here we've seen in the Old Testament people, the Israelites, they failed the test. And we failed the test too. Why? Because we are these clay vessels. Even though that treasure is within us, we just don't stand on the promise and to hang on to this precious gift that is within us. They cracked under the pressure, didn't they? And they succumbed to false gods and idols. And as we've seen, we've read it many times and heard it, how punishment came upon them because of their disobedience. But God gave them promise after promise, warning after warning came upon them because of their disobedience. God kept coming to them, but they kept going away and not letting God do what he had promised in their life. As we've seen, there was promise after promise given to them, warning after warning that was spoke by many of the prophets. But what did they do? They done things what was wrong in the sight of God. They went their own ways. They done their own things. And just like to share a little bit from the book of Ezekiel in chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. This is God speaking through the prophet here who was speaking this message to the people and bringing this warning. And he's speaking here about the promise of what God said to them. And God says, and I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away the stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart, so they will obey my decrees and regulations. Then they will truly be my people and I will be their God. So then again, a powerful promise that was given to them. And also in the book of Jeremiah was another mighty man of God, speaking of everything that God had shown him, and he went about the land just speaking and making the declaration of, you know, telling the people there that things had to change. You can't go on worshipping all these idols and gods and false things and listen to false prophets and all that sort of thing. And so Jeremiah says in chapter 31 and verse 31 also, and he says here, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with at the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I love them as a husband loves a wife, says the Lord. And again in verse 33, but this is a new covenant I will make with the people of Israel. This is the new covenant God has made for Grow Church, for us also. The Lord says, I will put my instructions deep within them and I will write them on their hearts. God will write them on your hearts. And he says here, I will be their God, which means he will be your God and they will be my people. You will be his people. And so it also says, and down a little bit further there, and I will give their, I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. What a mighty powerful promise of what God will do, what God is prepared to do. How far God is prepared to go, that he continues to strive with us even though we continually regress and often go backwards and be like the Old Testament people. God is saying here, and we have received this promise of the new covenant through Jesus Christ, who gives us everlasting life. Amen. And so we want to be a part of this promise and to be that people and to know that God is our God and we are his people. And so we take that to heart. We believe that and we want it to be in our lives. But as we also heard in communion this morning, you know, God wants obedient people. Amen. And as my wife shared, you know, it's not always easy to be obedient. You know, we often say, well, I'm not going to do what you told me. Not listening to you. You know, we get that sort of attitude at times, don't we? But, you know, God wants us to be obedient, to admonish those who minister over us and to look up to people who we can receive from and to do that. To be obedient, you know, to be ministers of this new life-giving covenant and to be able to bring comfort to hurting people. People who don't know help and don't know the Lord. You know, we have so many situations and things that happen within our own body here, in our community. It happens all the time, you know. We see here that as believers, you know, we have an opportunity, don't we, to minister out of us the love of God into our community. And love that can bring hope and to a person's life, and to do that. And also, as my wife shared this morning, you know, about the tragic event over the last week, where this little African girl was savagely and tragically mauled by a savage dog, you know. And the whole community rallied around that family, and they've been such a wonderful strength and support, and members from everywhere. At the funeral, our state government was represented, and our local council, and other ministers and pastors from all the churches around, and all the service communities, the police, the ambulance, Red Cross and a few other people there. But everyone just came to bring comfort, to support people in a time of need. And that's what God wants from all of us, that we can be that sort of people where the scripture talks about that through us God offers comfort to all. Amen? To be able to do that. But as we see, you know, God so graciously has allowed us to keep this new life covenant forever in our heart. It's forever there. It will never go away. No one can take that away. Even though people might just put it in the background, it's always there and it will always rise up, I'm sure, according to God's promises that, you know, the Spirit will rise on some given occasion when someone's in a terrible trouble and they'll say, God, help me. You know, the hand goes up in that time of need. But and so the apostle there, just to finish up, he continues on to speak positively about being God's people. And he makes that declaration, let light shine out of darkness. And we know that God spoke these words at creation in the beginning, and God says it to us now, today. God's still saying that. Let light shine out of the darkness. Let light shine out of us. And as Scripture says, you know, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, aren't we? And in this new birth, if anyone is in Christ, they are new creations. And as we know, that the light of the gospel, it dispels all darkness of sin, doesn't it? And it's God's all-surpassing power. It comes from God. It's nothing of us but the Spirit of God that works in you, the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And we need to let that rise up. And again, as I just finish up, again, the words of the apostle, he said, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we can also believe and therefore speak, because we know the one who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Amen? And as I said earlier on, we've got to turn our faith into testimony, church, don't we? I encourage everyone here today, turn your life into testimony, that you can be a living testimony for Jesus Christ, and to see and let this inward renewal that comes through in this new life, that the outward suffering will be overcome. And we have that confidence. And when we have that confidence, we don't lose heart. Amen? So bless you all. And don't forget the service again tonight, the courses and everything. But Father God, we just bless you, Lord. Just let us stand, church, as a people of God. You know, we are his people and he is our God. And so we need to be standing in awe and reverence of what a mighty God we serve, that he is able to do abundantly above all the we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And Lord, we just pray and ask, Father God, Lord, that power that is within us would rise up, Lord, that we could use it for your glory. Lord, that we would go and speak and teach and reach, Father God, all those who don't yet know you, Lord. Lord, that our lives will become a living testimony for your glory, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen.